Word of God, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 and 34. 33 and 34. Let's read these out loud together. Ready? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I want to speak tonight on the subject of the electronic avalanche and how it is facing believers today and how we have got to handle it. We are living in great times, wonderful times, amazing times to be able to get the word of the Lord out. And yet tonight we are facing an avalanche of electronic technology in our country and around the world, actually. It's a global thing that is becoming very, very difficult. And many, many parents, including like myself, would almost claim complete ignorance on this avalanche. And as I go along tonight, I hope you'll understand a little bit more what I'm saying. There is a lot of evil communications in the world today. There's a lot of evil communications in the world today. Verse 33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Three words there. Be not deceived. Do not think, Paul is saying here, that it is not going to affect you. Do not think that it is not going to affect your children. Evil communications. We have a lot of different types of communications in our world today that 10 years ago when I was raising my children, we didn't have to deal with. 10 years ago. And a lot of them are very, very, very evil. I prepared this message this week to share, and I tried to encourage people to come out tonight. I went home today and got the front page of the Buffalo newspaper here. And I almost hate to even read it, but the front page of the newspaper here speaks about something that is new in technology called sexting. S-E-X-T-I-N-G. I thought it was a misspelling. But as you know, there's a lot of text messaging going on today, especially among the youth, on cell phones. And the title on the front page says Texting Plus Sex Equals Teens Flirting with Porn. And in the article, I wouldn't even read the article. And it talks about many of the Hollywood stars who are doing this and how many of the girls and boys in their youth are saying, well, if these stars are doing it, what's wrong with it? And it's talking about some statistics that are almost unbelievable. And this is the newspaper. This isn't some independent Baptist flaming fundamentalist preacher or something. It says here more than 1 in 5 teen girls have sent nude or semi-nude images of themselves. 11% of girls in the 13 to 16 8-year-old age group have done so. 1 in 5 teen boys have done so. 1/3 of the young adults in the 20 to 60 age group have done so. 39% of teens and 59% of young adults have sent sexually suggestive text messages or emails. 48% of teens have received suggestive messages. 1/3 of young teen girls ages 13 through 16 have received suggestive messages. And I'm leaving words out that I don't want to really read in church. And it just talks about this avalanche of pornography and suggestive material that is taking place today on cell phones and iPhones and so on and so forth. And I had prepared my message this week. I didn't know that was going to be the front page of today's Buffalo News. Now, as you know, the Buffalo News is no bastion for decency. All right, it's an ungodly newspaper. It's a liberal newspaper. And when they are concerned, I think there's a lot of people concerned. We live in a day-to-day of cell phones and iPhones and iPods and websites and Facebook and YouTube and MySpace and different blogs, as well as television and cable and satellites and Sirius radio and emailing and text messaging and so on and so forth, and it's all coming to us now in high definition so that we can see it even clearer. Thursday this week, January the 22nd, here in 2009, the BBC reported that the quantum computer has been invented in Europe, and that this computer is able to send messages and images at the speed of light, making all current computers obsolete and archaic in a very, very short time. I don't doubt that this is true. I don't know much about it. But I don't doubt that in a couple of years from now, we will laugh at the computers that we are using today. The Bible says in Daniel chapter number 12 and verse number 4, that many shall run to and fro in the last days, and knowledge shall be increased. We're living in a day where that prophecy is taking place. This electronic avalanche that we are being hit with can be used for great good. It can be used for the spreading of the gospel. Our church has a website, fbbc.com. From what I understand, it is one of the best Baptist websites there are in the world. One of the most helpful, one of the most often visited independent Baptist websites there are in the world, and we're glad. And I'm able to not only preach to you, but to have the messages put on the website so people all over the world can hear them, and people do. I constantly hear of people who say they listen to the messages all the time. And people inform me and sometimes and say, do you know so-and-so listens to every message that you preach? And that sure blesses my heart as a preacher that there's such a tool as that. But we must understand today that much of the communications of our day, greater than ever before, and there's no stopping it. Let's just admit it. There's no stopping the avalanche of electronic technology that our world is inventing. We must understand that most of it is evil and is being used for very, very evil purposes. In Romans 16 and verse number 19, the Bible says this, I am for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Be simple concerning evil. We have an English word today. You don't hear it much. It's the word simpleton. Some people use the word simpleton to describe somebody who wasn't very smart or very informed, who was quite ignorant. That is what the Lord is telling us here. He's saying, be very wise about anything that is good, but be very simple about anything that is evil. We don't have to know everything there is about that which is evil. My dad used to say, you do not have to lift up the lid on a sewer to know that it stinks inside. And that is the same thing about a lot of the technology today. Oliver B. Green, the old evangelist, used to say, there's a good sandwich in every garbage dumpster, but I'm not going to jump in to find it. And there is good about a lot of the things that are out there in the world, but I don't think we should jump into that world to find out what it is. Believe it or not, I am a very, very ignorant man, very, very simple man, very, very naive man when it comes to electronic technology. This is not because of stupidity, but because of separation, a doctrine that is taught in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said to those at Corinth, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and you shall be sons and daughters unto me. And he said, I will be a father unto you. I am not ignorant about a lot of these things because I'm too stupid to understand them. In fact, when I was in the Army, my MOS was electronic technology. That's what I studied. But I got out of that and decided that I wasn't really interested in that. Of course, God had a different direction for me, and that was to be a minister of the Word of God. We ought to be simple concerning that which is evil. We ought not just to follow the crowd, and just because everybody else has something, that we get it also. In this communications world that is ever expanding, are also expanding the dangers of poisoning the believer's mind and poisoning the believer's heart. As some of us can testify, some of the things that you put into your mind in your youth, and some of the things you put in through the eye gate and through the ear gate into your heart in your youth will stay with you and will pester you in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, until you die. They will trouble your mind, and they will trouble your heart, and they will war against you being a spiritual man and a spiritual woman for God Almighty. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There is a lot of ignorance today, I think, among parents who think for some reason their children will be immune to it as they see the images on television night after night after night of nakedness and violence and perversion and profanity. Some reason they think that because they're sitting together as a family watching it, they're somehow going to become immune to it. But they're not. The Bible says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Don't let this fake you out. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And never, ever have parents and young people have had to fight the battle for their minds and hearts as they have to today because of the evil communications. In your bulletin on the back, a minister by the name of Joe Shalero, Jr., I don't know him, and this is, I think, where I got a little bit goofed up talking to Brother Baker earlier. He's a minister with Gateway to the Heart Ministries, and you're with Graceway. But he had these statistics that are just come out recently, and they came across my desk, and so I thought I'd put them in the bulletin. He said, children spend more time watching TV than any other activity. Children spend more time watching television than any other activity. You would not believe the mind. As the most advanced computer, God made it. And for the ability of the human mind to register and to keep images that come from the eye, through the eye, into the mind, that are often burned in there. Some of us can tell testimonies of images we put in our minds 40 years ago, 30 years ago, that you haven't thought about in 30 years, and then just like that, they come up as though you just looked at them. And there are some of us who want to be spiritual. There are some of us who want to be more spiritual than we are. We have a battle with our minds. We have a battle with our hearts, one we never knew we'd be fighting. And a lot of times we spend none of our energy fighting the adversary or fighting for souls. Oftentimes most of our energy today is spent fighting our own flesh and just trying to live one day in the victory. From what we put in our minds, in our eyes, in our ears. We had a young lady in this church send nude pictures by way of the cell phone to a young man in this church. She no longer attends this church. Let us not pretend it is not in our churches and in our homes. Good can get around the world faster now than ever before because of this technology, but evil can also. And the sad thing is that while we live in this world, man's nature is fallen and bent towards evil, not bent towards good. In Genesis chapter number 8 and verse number 21, we learn when this starts, it says, "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." As you see these statistics go on, it says 80% of 15 to 17-year-olds have had multiple viewings of internet porn. Over 90% of 10 to 17-year-olds recently watched an R-rated movie. Most of the top-selling video games, 89%, contain extreme violence. The Bible, depicting our adversary, the devil, describes him as a being who is filled with violence. It's no wonder that he's having his way, trying to get man filled with violence. These are things, as God said, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I believe the devil's been reading the Bible. And because he knows that in the greatest number of people that visit internet porn sites are teenagers. And I believe the devil knows that. I believe it's all in his grand scheme so that even if they do get saved, they will have to battle in their minds the rest of their lives and in their hearts to ever be spiritual. To ever be spiritual. Sometimes we wonder what's happening to the church. What's happening to the churches? The churches seem so cold. Churches are closing up. Churches are canceling their Sunday night services and their Wednesday night services. And people aren't just in love with each other. And the people are becoming apathetic and hardened. And it reminds me of the prophecy of Jesus when he said in Matthew 24:12, again about the last days, he says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Sin has an effect on the heart. It makes a person's heart wax cold. And a person who gives themselves over to sin ends up becoming a heartless person, a self-centered person. And Jesus said, "Because iniquity shall abound." And as I thought of the words of our Lord, "as iniquity shall abound," I thought, what is it that's going to make iniquity abound more? And one of the prophets says that the transgressions in the last days shall come to the full. And that's a picture of so much sin, so much transgression in the last days, it's like a cup full and running over. So much sin. I thought, certainly some of that blame must go with the electronic technology. I said this before, and I mean it, we can sin faster today than anyone's ever been able to sin. What did people do in the 1800s? When perhaps feelings of lust that everybody has to deal with came into their hearts and minds. What they do? I don't know what they did. But nowadays, one can run to their computer. One can run to their television. One can go to some cable station or something from direct television or satellite television. And they can feed that lust instantaneously. And there are so many people that are becoming addicted to it. Back in the 1960s and 70s, some of us lived through what I call the first avalanche that struck the American home. And that was the tsunami of rock and roll music. And as I lived through that myself as a teenager in the 60s and the 70s, I remembered how parents were completely unarmed and defenseless against that, and how that came like a tidal wave across our country and hit us so fast and so hard, parents didn't know what to do. It became so popular that almost every single parent just resigned to it and said, "Well, this is just what they're going to do, and these kids want to do that," and they allowed their children to become subject to one of the most powerful mediums that our country has ever faced, and that is the medium of rock and roll music. Back in our days, a very famous statement came up that we live by, And some of you will know what to say when I say this. The society in the 60s and 70s was described as sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You heard how many people said that. That's just how it was in the 60s and 70s. And that tsunami hit us. I recently saw a video of the tsunami hitting Indochina. And the people were just standing on the shore enjoying their hotels and motels and the sandy beaches and so on and so forth like any other day. And all of a sudden this tidal wave of muddy water 30 feet high just came and just ran them over. And when it hit and receded, over 200,000 people were dead like that. And that was what the tsunami was like that hit the United States of America in the 60s and the 70s. It just came and wham, it hit us. And it was such a powerful medium. And it just destroyed a generation and produced a generation of rebellious, stubborn, proud, satanic people. And our country's never been the same because of it. Now, I really think over the last 5 years, and especially the last couple years, we've been hit by the second tsunami, and parents have no idea what to do. You see parents going out left and right buying their kids' cell phones because everybody else has got them. You see kids walking around with cell phones, 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 13- and 14-year-olds walking around with cell phones. I mentioned this morning in the home I grew up in, we had one ugly green-looking, OD green-looking rotary phone in the kitchen with a cord about that long attached to it. And brother, when you had to use the phone, you had to be brief. And everybody heard everything you were saying. I didn't get on the phone and talk to my friends all night. I didn't talk to some girlfriend all night. Or some boyfriend all night. I didn't text message 20 of my friends all night, and so on and so forth. We were struggling with other things, but brethren, that was better days. That was better days. You got on that phone, you stated your business, and you got off the phone. And that's all there was to it. But today we have this electronic technology that's filled with the powerful medium of pornography, perversion, and violence. The last I heard, 26% of all websites are obscene. I'm told it's everywhere. I don't know. I don't surf the net. I wouldn't know how to get on the internet tonight if my life depended on it. Once that is in your mind, once that is in your heart, it never comes out. And Satan knows this. Now back to our text. I just want to give you a couple of verses here that I think will help you. I think everything we have said so far tonight is just the way it is, a description of the world we live in. I cannot imagine what it's going to be like a year from now. I can't imagine what it's going to be like 5 years from now. I can't imagine what it's going to be like parents 10 years from now. I have no idea. I think 10 years from now, somebody's going to come across this message from an audio recording on the internet and listen to it, and they're going to chuckle and laugh at the things I'm talking about tonight. They're going to say, was it really like that 10 years ago? It's going to be so advanced. It is of utmost importance that now is the time every mom and dad, every grandma and grandpa, decide what are your standards going to be in this issue. What are your convictions going to be in this issue? And that you try to teach them to your children in the love of God, and in a gentle and meek spirit, and yet in a firmness that is unbending and unwavering about this. Look at our text. I just want to give you a couple verses that'll help you parents. And I'm not here to tell you what your standards should be. I do know the Bible says in other places, abstain from all appearance of evil. I believe I have that verse on the back of our bulletin today. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. David said in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, it shall not cleave to me. I am just sometimes shocked at how many times I'll see what I thought were good Christian homes who will have the television on for hours and hours and hours sometimes a day. Sometimes letting children have televisions in their own homes, or their own rooms, cable in their own rooms, internet access in their own rooms. What does our text say? First of all, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Do not be fooled. Do not be led astray. Do not be led aside from the right way, from the path of virtue. This means to sever or to fall away. Don't be faked out. Don't be fooled. Do not think for one single moment, it won't hurt my children. They're above this. You have no idea how weak your children might be. One of my dear friends, a Christian friend that I have, and that I know lives in another state, never thought his son would be an alcoholic by age 18. You would not believe how weak some people are. 13% of those that are introduced to any type of a vice, whether it's pornography, gambling, drinking, drugs, 13% end up with a problem in regards to that. 7 end up full-blown addicts. I believe there are certain doorways to demonism. And some of these things, like pornography and alcohol and drugs, and even sometimes prescribed drugs, have opened up people to demon possession or demon oppression. I have a friend who is an evangelist who hurt his back, became addicted to prescription drugs. He fought a 7-year battle in darkness with demons. He wasn't possessed of them, but he was oppressed of them. And they tried to destroy him for 7 years, lost his ministry, lost his marriage, lost his children, lost everything. But God helped him out of it, and God restored those things to him. This man was an evangelist. I believe the devil's using every weapon he has in his arsenal against this generation. Weapons we never knew he had a year ago, he's using today. And it is staggering. It is staggering what people in our churches are looking at and listening to. Be not deceived. The next words say evil communications. Evil communications. Now, I believe our King James Bible is accurate. I've read people who've questioned this translation and say, well, what that really means is companions and friends and so on. And sure it does, because we communicate with them. But I think God chose the right word. Evil communications. Back in the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, I didn't have to deal with this. You know, you young people aren't going to believe this, but when I was growing up, we didn't even have videos. Never heard of such a thing. And then along came the cassette tape, and boy, we were really advanced then. We had cassette tapes. Then they came out with 8-track players. Well, you were something, you had an 8-track player. And then, man, I got married in the 80s. They came out with a cordless phone. When I was raising my kids, a cordless phone. You could walk away from the phone jack and talk to people. I thought, man, wow, we're getting somewhere. I mean, a long time when we were married, I had to keep buying longer cords for my phone because my wife wanted to do housework while she was talking on the phone. She wanted to wash the dishes, so I got her a 16-foot cord. This is how we grew up. My kids grew up that way. Boy, these last few years, it's not a laughing matter. Evil corrupt communications corrupt. This word corrupt means to defile, to destroy, to cause, to rot. And what is it? Good manners. Good manners. I almost fell down last week and died. I heard a guy say something I hadn't heard in decades. This plane landed on the Hudson River. I guess it flew through a flock of birds and lost both engines, and this guy just miraculously, this pilot turned around and headed for the Hudson River. He landed in the Hudson River. 158 people on board, every one of them lived. But I almost fell and died when I heard they were interviewing one of the guys that got out of the plane, and he was in the plane with the captain trying to get people off, and he said this. He said, "Women and children first." I said, "Wow. There's a guy left with some chivalry. That's good manners. That's good manners." You know, I was so shocked because there's not a lot of good manners left anymore. There's a lot of filthiness in our country. Evil communications will corrupt the good manners. This word phrase, good manners, means the customs, the morals, the character of one who subjects themselves to evil communications. Be not deceived. Do not think it's not going to affect you. Do not think it's not going to affect your children. Maintain high standards. Learn to say no, 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 no. When your kids want this, 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 this. Yet so many are given in. Even among believers, so many want their children to have everything else all the other kids in the world have. Just because your kids are saved does not mean they are immune from the corruption of good manners. Dr. Tom Williams, great evangelist and one of the greatest men of prayer I've ever met. I met him personally. Evangelist. He has a ministry called Worldwide Ministries, Inc. He's a man of prayer and he's a friend of preachers. Just many, many preachers go to him for counseling. I hate to read this, but I want to read a statement that he made recently, and I want to quote him. He said, "1/3 of my counseling is with pastors who are addicted to pornography." End quote. Another survey of over 1,000 pastors in California from four major denominations found that 31.7% of those pastors had committed adultery. You think the two are related? I don't know what four denominations those are, major denominations. I hope they weren't Baptists, but Baptists aren't immune from this. I don't know of anything that hurts churches and governments and societies more than moral lapses and moral failures. Addictions. These preachers are saying, "Brother Tom, I'm addicted to it. I'm not looking at it, I'm addicted to it." I separated myself from these things a long time ago when they were coming out on purpose. I can't tell you how many people have said, "Pastor, if you just learn how to use the internet and the computer, it'll help you, it'll help you, it'll help you. I don't know if I want that help." I got enough problems with my flesh trying to be spiritual. Got enough problem with my eyes sometimes, I wish God would poke them out. I have been preaching against this stuff since it came out in its infancy. I've been telling people we need to be separate from it. Evil communications, because it'll corrupt good manners. Now, I understand there's some people who's literally, they go to workplaces where their livelihood depends on it. I understand that. I understand that. The That kind of person needs to get every single kind of filter they possibly can. A man once came up to me and said, my boss won't let us put filters on the internet in the place I work. And I said to him, I think it's time you get a new job. No amount of money is worth corrupting your morals and your manners over. Let me just give you a few thoughts on some other things. What about Facebook, YouTube, MySpace, emails, texting messages, and cell phones, and so on and so forth? I know these things can be used for some good. I understand that. I do. I'm not that ignorant. But I want you to notice something else here in verse 34. And maybe you hadn't thought about that much, but verse 34 says this, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I don't know much about Facebook and YouTube and MySpace and so on and so forth, except the horror stories I've heard. But I went to an expert this week who knows all about it. And he says, Pastor Cole, he said, most of these start out good and end up promiscuous. He said, almost all of them. He says, I can tell you horror story after horror story after horror story of people who's started Facebook or something or some blog about themselves or something, and they desired it to be good. They even desired it in some cases to be a tool for God. But it ended up becoming corrupted. We are told in the Bible that in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. No man can tame the tongue. We're warned about the tongue, and understand that Facebook and emails and texting messages and YouTube and MySpace and blogs and cell phones, all these are is just another avenue to talk even more than we talk. When our Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2, let your words be few. And he said to me, Pastor, I have noticed that things like Facebook become a pride thing with some. They boast about how many friends they have. It becomes a clique because it becomes a group of friends that excludes others that would want to get on. It becomes something that is a great time waster, where they talk and talk and talk and talk and talk with friends and talk some more and talk some more and talk some more. See, there is a reason why God wants families to live separate from each other. We are not communal. We believe in the society being made up of families where there's a man in charge of every family. And we believe that we ought to keep our children separate from other families. We could take the five best families in this church and put them together in a communal system, and it would weaken all five of them in a month's time. It would weaken their standards. It would weaken their convictions. It would weaken their holiness. It would weaken the authority in their lives. And yet these electronic things are doing the same thing. They are cutting in on the authority of the family. They're cutting in on the authority of the father to control what his children sees, what his children hears, who his children hang around with, who his children talk with. It's cutting right through that. And many, many, many a child has gone off to their bedroom and talked on their cell phone all night long. And you'd be shocked what they're talking about. See, the sad thing is when it talks about evil communications in verse 33, It talks about very important communications in verse 34. And notice it starts out by saying, awake. As soon as he gets done saying in verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Notice the next word is awake. Wake up. Awake to righteousness. Get away from evil communications. Wake up to righteousness. Why? Sin not. Get away from the evil communications that are causing you to sin. Wake up to righteousness. Sin not. And then here's the main point. For some have not the knowledge of God. Satan would love for all of us to be inundated in our lives with good time wasters as long as nobody hears the gospel. He'd love to take our youth and get them all on Facebook with all of their friends to encourage each other and talk to each other for the rest of their life while the world goes to hell forever. While we're wasting our time talking and talking and talking, there has never been a generation that's talked so much as this generation and done so little for God. And yet we're warned by our Lord in Matthew 12, 36, every idle word that man shall speak, he will give an account thereof on the day of judgment. Let your words be few. My concern tonight as a pastor and why I'm so passionate is because I know you young people listen to me, I know. God speaks to quiet people in quiet places. And I want God to speak to you. I want God to speak to you. I want Him to speak to you. But you're going to have to learn how to be quiet. The Bible says study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. I love my Lord. I honestly believe God speaks to me every day of my life. I really do. I think almost every day of my life God shows me something. It's great. I want God to speak to you. Do you know why? Pastor Seth can tell you. Do you know why so many kids surrender their lives to the Lord at summer camp? Do you know why so many surrender their lives to the Lord at winter camp? Do you know why so many make decisions that just transform their lives? Because they don't allow cell phones. They don't allow iPods. They don't allow little DVD players or anything else. They say, leave it all home. We're going to get along with God. And God speaks to quiet people in quiet places. Brethren, the reason why, verse 33, we should stay away from evil communications is so in verse 34, we can get the gospel out. He said, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Some don't know how to be saved. I'm glad for the number of people we have out on visitation lately. It's been bigger than ever, I think. And I think we're going to have a good year. We need to be a soul-winning church. We need to be a soul-winning church. And I'm not against you encouraging your brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm not against that. We need to do that. We need to exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But brethren, we are being hit with a tsunami right about now. About 30 foot high. It's hitting our children. Our youth. Get the front page of the Buffalo News today and just weep for our youth. What hope do they have? I'd like us to bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I've tried to bring a message tonight of warning. I love people. I'm not. I know some are going to leave here and think I'm trying to ruin their fun again. I just found one more thing they can enjoy. Lord, I want to pray that others would be more discerning and would know tonight that the tsunami of evil communications is going to knock out a whole generation of workers for you, Lord, unless we begin to have some high and holy standards and convictions and somehow use those things for good, but if we can't, to stay away from them, to separate ourselves. And we ought to avoid evil communications so we can be involved in important communications, getting the gospel to those that have never heard. Lord, help us. Jesus, please. Help parents. I know it's tough to always say no to your kids. Sometimes we bend or waver a little bit. But Father, we have an adversary, the devil, that wants to destroy every one of our little boys, every one of our little girls, all of our teens, our youth. And Lord, we pray for victory. We pray for help. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.